In 1993, Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy was instituted in the U.S. military, permitting gays to serve in the military and banning homosexual activity. President Clinton's original intention was to revoke the prohibition against gays in the military, but it was met with stiff opposition and thus the compromise. In 2000, Vermont became the first state to legally recognize civil unions between gay and lesbian couples. In 2003, the Supreme Court ruled in Lawrence v. Texas that sodomy laws in the United States were unconstitutional. 2004, same-sex marriage became legal in the great state of Massachusetts. And continued forward for the past decade through 2013. In June 26th of this year, it's been a great year for the homosexual movement. In June 26th, the Supreme Court ruled that the 1996 DOMA, or Defense of Marriage Act, was unconstitutional. In a 5-4 decision, the court ruled that DOMA violates the rights of gays and lesbians. The court also rules that the law interferes with states' rights to define marriage. So I find it ironic that the Supreme Court said states have the right to define marriage, and now the tyrants in black robes, federal ones, by the way, like that scumbag Judge Shelby, appointed by Obama, endorsed by Orrin Hatch and Mike Lee, unfortunately. You didn't know that, did you? Have said that the state law is unconstitutional. So we're damned if we do, and we're damned if we don't. So that you know, 18 states now, including Utah, have legalized homosexual marriage. The other 32 states have laws or constitutional amendments similar to Utah, and by default, Utah will be used as a precedent, and I predict, and I'm not an attorney, but I predict over the next 12 to 24 months, maybe 3 years if we're lucky, the other 32 states will also likely fall in line, depending on how aggressive the lawsuits are. So there you have it, and you thought it could never happen in Utah, didn't you? Well, Judge Shelby, he told you, didn't he? He got you. And now the other 32 states will go along as well. So one quick quote here I'd like to share. Well before the gay marriage came on the scene as a mainstream issue, pro-homosexual sexual orientation laws and corporate pro-LGBT policies were victimizing and punishing Christians and other moral opponents of homosexuality. That's what we're going to be discussing here with our two experts in a few minutes. How many of you remember the case back in 1990 when James Dale sued the BSA, Boy Scouts, on the homosexual issue, right? In 2005, the Boy Scouts of America in a 5-4 decision In 2000, the BSA won the decision at the Supreme Court by a 5-4 decision. However, 13 years later, the Boy Scouts just rolled over and gave up that right, if you will, and pro-family experts predict now that even though homosexual Boy Scout leaders are still prohibited from being involved, pro-family experts predict that this prohibition will crumble under continued gay activist pressure within the next year or two. Also, countless employees, students have been forced to endure gay tolerance and pro-LGBT diversified programs that promote the ideals which they strongly disagree. By mandating gay and transgender tolerance as a basic modern American value, the law and the politically correct U.S. corporations are rapidly making opposition to homosexuality and gender confusion anathema, even banning it, thus relegating Christians and defenders of historic Judeo-Christian moral truths to second-class pariah status. So just to wrap up, the agenda was foretold. You know that, right? It was foretold in the 1990 book, After the Ball, How America Will Conquer Its Fear and Hatred of Gays in the 1990s. Alan Sears and Craig Osten talked about this, and they said the agenda that they basically set in the late 80s, in the book called After the Ball, where they laid out the 6-point plan on how they could transform the beliefs of ordinary Americans with regard to homosexual behavior in a decade-long frame. They admit it privately, but they will not say it publicly. In their private publications, homosexual activists make it very clear that there was a 6-point agenda laid out this following. 1, talk about gays and gayness as loudly and as often as possible. Portray gays as victims, not as aggressive challengers. 3, give homosexual protectors a just cause. 4, make gays look good. 5, make the victimizers look bad. Call them names, homophobic, intolerant, haters, etc. 6, get funds from corporate America. Now they've achieved all of this, and since for all intents and purposes have achieved homosexual marriage in the 50 states, as we already talked about, do you know what the next goal is? According to the agenda, the next goal on the homosexual agenda is to lower the age of consent. They want to lower the age to age 12. Okay? It's been advertised and publicized in their documents. And these are all quoted here if anybody wants to look at it later. Although most homosexual activists publicly deny that they want access to boys, many homosexual groups around the world are working aggressively to lower the age of sexual consent. Their cause is being aided by professional psychiatric and psychological associations, which have moved in recent years toward normalizing pedophilia as much as they did with homosexuality in the early 1970s. In the United States, homosexual activists are more circumspect about their efforts to gain access to children than they are in Canada and in Europe. While NAMBLA, you've all heard of NAMBLA, right? North American Man Boy Love Association, has regularly marched in the homosexual pride parades in New York, San Francisco, and other major cities, homosexual activists publicly disassociate themselves from pedophiles as part of a public relations strategy. Yet homosexual groups are actively recruiting gay youth through such groups as the Sexual Minority Youth Assistance League, the Hedrick Martin Institute, AIDS service providers, and various other agencies. Oh, and for those of you that thought, well, and probably still think, well, that doesn't happen in Utah, and certainly not in Utah County, for heaven's sake. Well, most of you probably don't know that American Fork High School, just a couple of miles down the road here, in August, the school board authorized the first, well, I don't know if it's, well, the first one in Utah County, I don't know if it's the first one in Utah, but it may be, homosexual club at American Fork High School, where my kid goes. So it is happening here. It's not going to happen here. It is happening here, okay? And anyway, oh, check this out. In case you doubt about the age 12 thing, or the lowering of the age, when Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg was an attorney for the ACLU, she co-authored a report recommending that the age of consent for sexual acts be lowered to 12 years of age. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. How about that? So how prevalent is child molestation among homosexuals? You often hear their argument is, well, most of the child molestation comes from heterosexuals, so don't even talk about it. Well, according to the Gay Report, which is published by homosexual researchers Jay and Young, in 1979 revealed that 73% of homosexuals surveyed had at some time had sex with boys 16 to 19 years of age or younger. Although homosexuals account for less than 2%, now I believe the figure is closer to 3% of the population, they constitute about a third of child molesters. Okay, gaining access to children has been a long-term goal of the homosexual movement. In 1972, the National Coalition of Gay Organizations adopted a, quote, gay rights platform that included the following demand: repeal of all laws governing the age of sexual consent. David Thorsat, a spokesman for the homosexual rights movement and NAMBLA, clearly stated the objective, quote, "The ultimate goal of the gay liberation movement is the achievement of sexual freedom for all." That sounds like that. Freedom for all, yeah. "Not just equal rights for lesbians and gay men, but also freedom of sexual expression for young people and children," unquote. This goal has not been changed since it was articulated in 1972. So our speakers tonight are going to tell you about proposals for non-discrimination laws here in Utah. And that sounds nice enough, doesn't it? Nobody wants to be labeled a discriminator, a hater, intolerant. But the problem is that you are labeled that. If you stand up for what you believe in, or even if you don't stand up for what you believe in, you're called that. So I would encourage you to choose which side you're on. The tolerant, diversity-loving, politically correct, pro-homosexual agenda supporter, or the pro-family, pro-traditional values, heterosexual, intolerant, Christian, anti-diversity, closed-minded, homophobic, bigot, so-called. Choose you this day whom you will serve, because you can't be on both sides of the fence here, ladies and gentlemen. So quote Gina Miller one more time. She says, "We must stand as much as ever against this degenerate and tyrannical homosexual movement, and in doing so, we must not lose sight of the real nature of the battle. It is a spiritual battle, and we must approach it as such, putting on the full armor of God as best we can, if we are to have any hope of turning back this truly evil tide." Our speakers tonight are State Senator Stuart Reed. He's a Utah state senator and represents District 18, covering parts of Weber, Morgan, and Davis counties. His profession is in real estate and economic development. He graduated with a BS and master's from Brigham Young University and has served in the legislature since 2011. And I commend him for being here tonight to speak to us. Can we give him a round of applause to have him? He'll speak now, and he'll be followed by Gail Ruzicka, who's the president of the Utah Eagle Forum. She hosts a weekly talk show on K-Talk Radio, AM 630, and is a volunteer lobbyist to the Utah legislature. She has served in the Utah Republican Party as a precinct chairman, state and county delegate, and national delegate 5 times. She and her husband, Don, are the parents of 12 children and 30 grandchildren. And as I said, after Gail's finished, we'll have questions and answers, and hopefully maybe we can even come up with some solutions, because heaven knows we need some solutions here. So with that, Senator Stuart Reed.
I'd like to thank Tom for his introductory remarks, and thank you for coming tonight. I suspect most of you are here because of the judge's ruling, not because Gail and I are here. If you want to get people out, do something terrible. I'll just get people out. Let me start my remarks out by saying, we talk about compassion dealing with this issue. I'm reminded by Paul, Apostle Paul's comment. He says, "Our battle is not with flesh and blood." And then paraphrasing, he says, "It's with the powers of darkness." And then he equated some of that with government leaders. And that's really where this debate is, and where your influence can be felt, is with government leaders. So I'm not here tonight to gin up your emotions about gays. Just not. And I want to make it clear, on a personal level, I don't want to discriminate against the LGBT community. That's not who I am. But that's different than providing special class protections under the law for something that is immoral. And I want to talk a little bit about that. So last session, we'll try to talk a little bit about marriage too, but last session, a non-discrimination bill was introduced in the Senate, Economic Development and Workforce Services Committee. I sit on that committee. And when that was introduced, there was about 150 folks from the LGBT community that attended. It was probably 9-1 in their favor in the room. And there were 7 of us on the committee. 4 of the 7 voted for the non-discrimination legislation. I and 2 others voted against it. 2 that voted were Republicans, and they were Republican leaders in the Senate, majority leader and the assistant whip. The folks in the room cheered and applauded, and we're all excited about it, went out and talked to the press and said that this was a great day in the state of Utah. It was a historical day. In that meeting, I asked a simple question. If I believe that homosexual activity is immoral, am I discriminating? 2 of my colleagues were at the table, Senator Urquhart, who is the sponsor of the bill, and Jim Tabakas, who is a senator that's gay. In fact, you probably saw on television he was married this last week, or 2 weeks ago, I guess. I asked them that question. They both looked at each other. They weren't sure quite how to respond. I don't think they'd had that question before. So I asked it again. If I believe homosexual activity is immoral, am I discriminating? Still, they couldn't. They didn't want to answer. So I said, let me help you out. Of course it is. By definition, it's discriminatory. If I identify something as being immoral, then I'm labeling it, I'm setting it apart, and I'm saying this is not good for society. Therefore, I'm discriminating. Now, before you get too alarmed, I want you to know that every law that you support discriminates against someone or something. And oh, by the way, every law that you support reflects your moral perspective on that given issue. Okay, so you cannot expunge morality out of the law, and you cannot expunge discrimination out of the law. It is inherent in the law. And the reason the majority vote is so important is because that is what is reflected not only in the law, but in our Constitution. Note, the Constitution was approved by the majority, right? And when it's amended by a majority. 2/3 of Congress, 3/4 of the states. So you can't escape that majority rule. And it does reflect the values of the society that votes for it, the majority. Well, that kind of caused a ruckus, and so I decided to write an op-ed piece to kind of explain why I said what I said. And in my op-ed piece, and I think there's copies of it back there, I've written several opinion pieces for both the Tribune and the Deseret News on this topic in marriage. I basically said what I just explained to you, and that is, if we deem something to be immoral, then we have no business trying to advance it in society because we want to be compassionate. How can any of us justify, if society believes it's immoral, the majority believes it's immoral, how are we justified trying to advance it under the law? If we decide it's not immoral, then we have no business discriminating it in any form, whether it's marriage, adoption, whatever the case may be. So you can't be principled and have it both ways. So I can believe that it's immoral, I can believe it shouldn't be advanced in society, but it doesn't mean that I have to discriminate on a personal level. So how does it? If I own some apartments and gays wanted to rent from me, I'd rent. But I would never pass a law saying that you would have to rent to them. Or if I was an employer, and I've been an employer, I've had hundreds of people working for me, I've hired gays and they've worked for me. But I wouldn't force anyone to make that choice under the law, particularly for something that they would believe to be immoral. Now here comes the problem. The reason that Judge Shelby's ruling is so terrible, besides being terrible on its face, is he now has put us in a place in the state where if this non-discrimination legislation passes, you run the risk of losing your religious liberty. And I'll explain that. Every state to date, till Utah, prior to same-sex marriage being legalized, they had non-discrimination legislation passed first. It was the gateway. Followed by that, as indicated, we're the 18th state that now has same-sex marriage legalized. We now have several cases around the country where gay couples who want to be married require somebody to provide services to their wedding. I'm not talking about the minister now. I'm talking about the cake maker, the flower provider, the photographer, the gazebo, renting out the gazebo for the reception, where people have, on the basis of their religious conscience, refused to provide those services. They have been sanctioned by the government, not under the same-sex marriage law, but under non-discrimination legislation. They get turned into the Human Rights Commission in their states. Those states then solicit the support of the Attorney General, and they sanction. Several of these cases have gone to court, and so far, we're losing. Religious freedom is losing in these cases. The case in New Mexico has gone to the appeals court and they've lost. So it's one thing to say we want to be compassionate and we want to provide homosexuals, the LGBT community, with certain protected rights and as a protected class. But inevitably what that'll mean is you'll have to give up your religious freedoms, your freedom of conscience, to support the new sexual civil rights. They both will not coexist. And I don't think that's fair. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it reflects the values of Utah. And that's something that you need to fight for, to protect against. Now let's talk about why do we need a non-discrimination legislation. How many here know of any case, raise your hand, where discrimination has been applied for employment or housing in this state against anybody from the LGBT community? Nobody knows of any cases? Really? Well, you all live in sheltered lives or something. There are none. There are zero. And in fact, if there had been one, he would have been all over the television, the radio, and the newspapers. It would be broadcast as a celeb de cause for every gay person. It would be throughout the internet. There are 18 cities and counties that have passed non-discrimination ordinances in their counties or cities. There have been 3 complaints, 2 under employment, 1 under housing. None of those have been substantiated. 2 of those are in, no, I think all 3 are in Salt Lake City. So they would be leaning forward to try to prove the case. And the city could not substantiate any one of those 3. And it's been around several years now. When you talk about marriage, what percentage of gay couples get married in states where it's legal? What percentage of the gay couples actually get married? It's less than 24%. And they stay married a lot shorter time than heterosexual marriages. So they really aren't, the majority are not getting married. So what is this all, what is all this about? There's not discrimination in employment and housing, and the majority are not getting married. Okay? Clearly it's about societal acceptance of the new morality. And that battle's been waging now since the early 60s. And sorry to tell you, those with traditional morality and values are losing and have been losing for 50 years, 60 years. What can you do now? We'll talk about, Gail will talk a little more about this, but what we need you to do is think in the immediate, not even the theoretical. The bill, the non-discrimination legislation, will be reintroduced this session in the Senate again. And so you need to let your voices be heard to your legislators, particularly your senators, the Senate leadership, those on the Rules Committee, the President of the Senate, the Majority Leader of the Senate. Let them know that you do not want that bill to move forward. And be clear about it. Steve Urquhart will be, Senator Urquhart will be the sponsor again of the legislation. You've got to speak up now. Because I'm not sure how this is going to go. Having a judge rule that same-sex marriage is legal, there's going to be arguments made, well, what difference does it make now? We might as well do the non-discrimination. I've tried to explain here this evening that it matters a lot. So in England, they passed same-sex marriage law throughout England. They allowed religions to opt out, meaning they wouldn't have to marry gay couples. You know what happened yesterday? A lawsuit was filed by the first gay couple to be married in England, demanding that the government remove that opt-out provision because they want to be married in the church. This is where we're headed, and if you don't speak up, if you don't take a stand, if you don't get engaged, then you can see clearly where we're going to end up. So you have to fight for your rights. I'm not going to have a whole lot of patience with people, but the legislature who come and complain that their religious rights are being violated when they didn't do anything to protect those religious rights in the beginning, before it was too late. So stand up, let your voices be heard. I was coming, listening to the radio, to Rod on the radio, and I normally don't listen to the radio. And he was talking about the same-sex marriage ruling. The majority of the people that were responding, calling in, and he kept asking, how come people aren't energized about this? Were either neutral or thought it was okay. They were either neutral or thought it was okay. And by the way, most of those voices were young voices. The 20, 30-something age group. And he kept saying throughout this hour or so time frame, isn't anybody energized about this or upset about this? And these are the calls that he was getting. So somebody has to stand up. I'm going to turn the time over to Gail. She has a slide, and then we'll take your questions, and you'll be able to respond. Okay? So Gail has a slide presentation. She'll go through some of these facts as well.
Does that work? And this was actually the hardest one to see. I just put this chart up here because this was the... This is what Stuart was talking about when he was talking about the fact that there hasn't been not even one lawsuit, or at least substantiated in any way, that has to do with showing any kind of discrimination in these counties that and towns that have anti-discrimination laws, rules right now, you know, ordinances here in the state of Utah. And I'm sorry you can't see it better, but there's a list of everybody. And Salt Lake is up there because they've passed it, along with others that have passed those anti-discrimination. And they're showing that in housing there's been one complaint, in employment there's been two complaints, and substantiated zero. And Stuart just had this information, got this information from Ledge Research, what, 3 weeks ago? That's how current that is. So just...
Gail, could you read the list?
You want me to read off the counties that have that passed them? I hope I can see it. It's dark up here. Alta, Grand County, Huntsville, Logan, Marriott, Slaterville, Midville, Moab, Murray, Ogden, Park City, Salt Lake County, South Salt Lake, Springdale, Summit County, Taylorsville, Washington Terrace, and West Valley City. Those are the ones that have anti-discrimination ordinances, and in spite of that, and most of them, like Salt Lake's been, what, 3 years now? And there's never been one substantiated case of discrimination.
Yeah, I mentioned the Provo.
Yes, and any of you here from Provo, or just the fact that it's Utah County, Provo is looking at it this year, and it's not looking good. I have been astounded at they've got some new city councilmen there, and they're big supporters of anti-discrimination ordinance in their city, and we're going to talk about that, and you're going to see why that is so important. Before I get started, I want to mention a couple of things that you already heard about Sheriff Mack tomorrow night, and thank you, Sheriff, for joining us today. Appreciate it, Richard. And he's going to have a meeting here. He's going to be talking about this very issue and why the counties need to do something to stop it. Then on the 18th of January is our annual Eagle Forum Convention. It's an all-day event. Starts at 8:30 in the morning, goes until 6 o'clock. We've got a lot of speakers. We're going to deal with this issue a lot, as well as other things, and it also includes a lunch. You need to come and spend that time with us, because you will hear from speakers and learn things that will just be of such benefit. We're not only going to be dealing with this issue, but we're going to have a big section. It's going to be on Common Core, and I know a lot of you in this room care about that issue a lot, and we have several tremendous speakers on that. So put that on your calendar. Go online and look. Just look at Utah Eagle Forum, utaheagleforum.org, and all the information you need will be there, and what you need to sign up, all of it will be there. So I wanted to let you know about that. And then on the 25th of January, we are going to have a very large event. It'll probably be at the Capitol, and it's going to be, again, celebrating marriage. It's going to be to show support. To show support for Amendment 3. That is our constitutional amendment to our Constitution. Make sure you come to that and you bring all your friends. We need to get a couple of thousand people there, because like Stuart said today, Rod Arquette's on his show and he's talking about, the people of Utah just don't seem to care. Rod personally has mentioned that to me, as well as others. The media, when this, you know, when the marriage thing happened and we were all going through that awful devastation, and they were parading through my house, and Channel 4 even showed up twice. And they're all saying the same thing to me. So nobody cares on your side? Haven't heard from anybody? Nobody's spoken out? Nobody's saying anything? Nobody's doing anything? Where are the people who support traditional marriage? Why are the televisions just full of the homosexual marriages? As Stuart mentioned, state senator marrying his partner. The marriage was performed by the mayor of Salt Lake, there for all of us to watch, and people are just watching, our children are watching, everybody's, and are our children seeing us do anything? Have we said anything? Have we done anything? I'm telling everybody, we've sent, Eagle Forum has sent out a notice that says, call the governor and tell him to say no. This should never have happened. Everything that happened was an absolute blunder. The fact that the state wasn't prepared with a stay of action on this. And because they weren't prepared all the way through so far, we have been denied. But we have a law that passed by the legislature that says homosexuality, you know, marriages, homosexual marriages are illegal. That's in the code. Then we have a constitutional amendment that was also passed by the legislature, and two-thirds of all the people of Utah voted for it. It says that it's illegal to have any kind of marriage, that we'll have only marriage, actually, between a man and a woman, the union of a man and a woman. And yet, over 700 of these marriages have been performed. Is it 1,000 now? Because it was 7, okay, 1,000. I mean, unbelievable. Illegally in our state, and nobody is stopping it. That is wrong. So I sent out this alert. I said, call the governor. Tell the governor to say no. This one federal judge does not have the authority to do that. There's a good, really good piece today in the Deseret News, written by a legislator, current legislator, and you need to. I've got a copy of it on the table back there. I probably only brought 100, and I think there's more than that here. But so if you're with a husband and wife, please just take one. And he points out all the things that, you know, this judge had no right to do this. That if this is marriage, and it states. Decide on marriage. They decide whether you even have to have a marriage license or not. And if they decide, like our state has, that you have to have a marriage license, then they regulate the marriage license, not the federal government. So everything that's happening is illegal. So what happens with these over 1,000 same-sex marriages, homosexual marriages? It needs to stop now. And the only one that could do that is our governor. I think maybe the legislature could maybe do something too. When they're not in session right now, so call your elected officials, call the governor, and say just say no. And tomorrow Richard will talk about counties. He'll talk about, you know, the county sheriffs that should be stopping this. These county, every one of these county sheriffs should not allow their county clerks to issue these licenses, because it's illegal. And there's no, we'll have questions and answers afterwards, okay? Anyway, I just wanted to start out with that. We're going to Well, you know what? I hope I can make this work. So what we're going to talk about now is the anti-discrimination law, and hopefully I can see this.
I just wanted to say I called the governor's office and told him to sign an executive order prohibiting the county clerks from conducting same-sex marriages. He said, one of his aides told me, that they considered it and they didn't have a legal power.
Well, and you know, I've also talked to the AG about it, and he kind of said the same thing, the new AG. But thank you. You did exactly the right thing. Now, every one of you in this room, on Monday, you call the governor's office and you say the same thing. Then you follow it up with an email. Easy to remember. The phone number is what? 538-1000? 538-1000. That's the call the governor's office and tell them how you feel about it. And the email is very easy because it's GaryHerbert@utah.gov. Remember those, just send the email, make the phone calls. If thousands of phone calls go in and emails, and if you all come to our events, the Eagle Forum thing on the 18th, and the celebration of marriage on the 25th, come to those events, and the media will see you there. If we have 2,000 people on the 25th, then they're not going to say, where's the people? You're going to be there hearing from speakers, people like Senator Reid and others, that are going to tell you why they're going to do all they can to stop this and why we must. But every one of you will make the difference there. So let's talk about the anti-discrimination law, because that's this year that we're going to deal with this. And I'm going to talk to you about what's actually in that bill. Not all the details that's in there, because it's a very long bill, but parts of it I think that you need to know about. We're going to start here. Now, you see, what you see up there right now is the current language for the anti-discrimination law in the state of Utah. But what is added to it with the new anti-discrimination, there at the bottom, you can't see it, is sexual orientation and gender identity, or aura, as they put it in this. So what does that mean? Let's go to the definitions. Sexual orientation means an individual's actual or perceived orientation as heterosexual, homosexual, or bisexual. Gender identity means an individual's internal sense of gender without regard to the individual's designated sex at birth. So, evidence of gender identity may include an individual's self-identification as well as the individual's gender-related appearances, mannerisms, and other gender-related characteristics. So, what does that mean? Gender identity. You are who you think you are. That is what is in this bill. And I'm taking all this language directly from the bill. This is not my opinion. This chapter may not be interpreted to prohibit an employer from requiring an employee during the employee's hours at work to use restrooms, showers, facilities, or dressing facilities that are consistent with the employee's gender identity. It is a discriminatory and prohibited employment practice to deny an employee access to restrooms, shower facilities, or dressing rooms that are consistent with the employee's gender identity as established with the employer. So what does all that say? What does that mean? It means that under these anti-discrimination laws and under Utah's bill that would become the law if they vote for this and pass this, that restrooms will be shared by somebody who thinks they're transgender. Transgender, that means they're trying to figure out who they are. And so that's the gender, under gender identity, they go to their employer and they say to their employer, I perceive that I'm a woman, or I have a deeply held belief that I'm a woman, or I just believe I'm a woman, and I'm going to start using the women's restroom. Or a woman could say, you know, I think I'm a man, and I'm going to start using the men's restroom. If it happens to be a facility where they have exercise facilities where they maybe swim and or exercise and then shower and get ready afterwards. My daughter does that. She works where she goes in every morning and exercises and showers and gets ready for work. If there's a place like that, as it says up there, it also means shower facilities or dressing facilities, the dressing rooms. So those men would be using the restrooms with the women, or the women would go in and use the restrooms and the showers and the dressing facilities together. Now that's not far, that's in this bill. When I saw this language in the bill, and I had been talking about this and telling people, you know, when you pass an anti-discrimination bill, this is what happens. But I never dreamed that they would actually put it in the legislation. Because in a lot of the states, they passed it, they didn't put it in the legislation, they just passed anti-discrimination, but they put the word gender identity in, and then they sued if the employers didn't let them shower together. Some of the states have done just like our state is trying to do, and that's put the language right in the bill, so that when they pass this legislation, they already have it in there. They have to start, as soon as it passed and signed by the governor, when it goes into effect, then they can start insisting on showering together. And in other states where they have done this, it's actually then gone on into the schools. Now, why is it passed on to the schools? And we'll talk more about what's happening in the schools. But if you recognize gender identity or any of the transgender or any of those words, sexual orientation, in legislation, it might be just in employment like this was supposed to be, or housing, but that means the state of Utah would then agree that there is such a thing as gender identity. And once the state has that in the code as seeing that as legitimate, then it's affected by everything, everything, everywhere. So then the schools begin to demand that. Now, I can tell you right now, there is already a situation up in Salt Lake, because they have the ordinance up there, the anti-discrimination ordinance, where that we know of, and there's probably a lot we don't know of, but we happen to know because of family members, that there is a transgender man right now using the restrooms and dressing rooms, things with the women, in a very large business in Salt Lake, because he said, there's an ordinance in Salt Lake, I to see that I am a woman, I will be using the women's restrooms. And the women have been complaining, they're really upset, and they've been told just to be quiet, not say anything. Nobody wants to take a chance with a lawsuit, and if you want to work here, you got to keep this quiet. There's a man that I know who's tried everything he can to get rid of it, and he's just been told, you won't work here if you don't quit complaining. And this is in Salt Lake. So these are not way out things that I'm telling you. Now, let's talk about Steve Urquhart. Steve Urquhart is the sponsor of this bill. He's a Republican from St. George. And recently he was speaking to a very large crowd of 2,200 gay and lesbian supporters at an Equality Utah fundraising banquet. And he used scriptures to explain his conversion to their cause. He used one of my very favorites, probably most of you in this room's very favorites, is 2 Kings chapter 6. And this is where Elijah's servant awoke to see that they were surrounded by a great army. And so he went to Elijah, and Elijah and told him his concerns. You know, look out there. Look at all of them. What are we going to do? And Elijah answered and said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Urquhart compared today's growing tolerance of the gay agenda with Elijah's restoring the sight and turning the hearts of his enemies. I guess I should. Anyway, Steve then went on to talk about Urquhart vowed that his anti-discrimination bill will pass the legislature this year. He said, just as you gave me vision and turned my heart, we must open more eyes and turn more hearts. One by one, by example, conversion, education, and advocacy, we will open eyes and turn hearts in every committee meeting, floor vote, and every election in every state. And then he said, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them, referring to the gay community as us and the defenders of traditional families as them. What are the scriptures that talk about this very thing? About turning, I mean, we all in this room know what these scriptures mean. I mean, exactly the opposite of what Steve said. But he used that with the gay and lesbians to say, you know, we're now, there's now more of us than there are of them, referring to all of us in this room today. And you know, they talk about discrimination and the fact that they're the ones being discriminated against, and yet they have no problem discriminating against other people. All of you, and you know, Utah, we know who Orson Scott Card is, and Orson Scott Card joined the board of the directors for the National Organization of Marriage, which actively opposed same-sex marriage. And the LGB community has discriminated against him by boycotting his work. And the main thing that they went after was, you know, he had a contract with DC Comics, and they went out and got signatures, and they had over 18,000 signatures that were gathered by the LBG community in opposition, accusing DC Comic of giving Card a platform and support his hate. And so what happened then was the man who was the artist on this project said, I won't work with him, I won't be part of this. He quit, and that gave DC Comic the opportunity then to shelve the whole entire project. Now, you know, Scott Card was supposed to, he was the one writing the story, the Superman story for that. You know, that's a contract worth millions of dollars, which he lost because they discriminated against him. There are other things that they've done against him, and of course one of them being trying to stop Ender's Game, but I think they met their match on that one. But they certainly did go out and get all the signatures again and try to stop them and try to get Hollywood to not move forward with Ender's Game. So they don't do it, try to not discriminate. So let's talk about what is now happening across the nation in schools, how this anti-discrimination policy has led to the sharing of restrooms in the schools. In Colorado's Rice case ruled in favor of a six-year-old boy who was diagnosed with gender identity disorder. He thinks he's a girl. His parents said Coy showed early preference for girls' things. At 5 months, he took his sister's pink blanket. That does show a lot. He showed little interest in boy toys. Well, you know, he was one of the triplets, and so you know he had sisters. Well, of course, the little boys play with the sisters' toys too. He refused to leave the house in boys' clothes. Coy became depressed and withdrawn, telling his parents he wanted to get fixed by a doctor. 6 years old. But you know what happened with this case? The parents sued. You know, he went to school dressed as a little girl. You can see him there, all dressed up as a little girl. And of course, he wanted to use the girls' restroom, and the school said no. You know, we can't let you do that. But what we will do, we'll let you come and use the teachers' lounge. So you won't have to go in the boys' restroom. You can use the teachers' lounge. Well, the parents were really upset. Said no, we're not going to do that. And they sued. They pulled him out of school, caught him at home while they were suing the school. They, of course, won because if you have anti-discrimination laws in your state, this is what happens. And so they won the lawsuit. That meant then that all the schools in Colorado had to allow the boys to go into the girls' restroom and vice versa if they self-identified as the other sex. And, one of the real tragedies, this is a little six-year-old boy who now, you know, when they won the lawsuit, he's now in the restrooms with the other little six-year-old girls. And yet, just recently, there was this case in Colorado again, actually a six-year-old boy. And what did the six-year-old boy do? He kissed the back of the hand of a little girl. He was expelled. He was charged with sexual harassment. He could have gone in and gone to the bathroom with that little girl, and they patted him on the back and said, "What a good boy you are." But because he kissed the back of a girl's hand, he was kicked out of school. We are living in such a mixed-up society. Same kind of thing is happening in Maine. The Maine's highest court will soon decide which restroom Nicole Maines, a 15-year-old transgendered student, should use. And you see, he's seen here with his twin brother. And same kind of thing going on there. I won't go into all the details, but they are in a lawsuit. And he self-identifies as a girl, and so they're suing to use the restroom. Same thing, they said to him the same thing, you can use the teacher's lounge, and they said, absolutely not, you're discriminating against me. In Oregon, he said the Oregon State Legislature passed the Oregon Equality Act, which forbids discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity in several critical areas, including public school education, and this is in their law. Under Oregon law, gender identity includes what a person believes his or her gender to be and how that person chooses to express his or her gender. And so this is what's actually on the doors of the restrooms in the schools. It's Oregon High School opens unisex bathroom for all students. And I didn't make up this sign. That's what they have. The pink, of course, is the L for lesbian. And the blue is G for gay. And the mixed color is T for transgender. You can see that the blue at the top is the man and the bottom is a woman, and you choose which bathroom you want to go to. In New Hampshire, in the new Massachusetts rules have to do. This came from their state office of education, and they passed rules that say a student's biological gender is no longer the primary consideration when it comes to going to the bathroom or using a school locker room. A student who says he is a girl and wishes to be regarded that way throughout the school day and in every other area of his life should be respected and treated like a girl, including sports. Now, we were doing a presentation out in Saratoga Springs, and we had that a guy in the audience said, I could have done so much better in sports if they'd had that rule when I was at home sports. But sad to say, he didn't get that opportunity. The guidelines also say that the discomfort other students feel sharing sex-segregated bathrooms or locker rooms with transgender students is not a reason to deny access to the transgender student. The justification for this rule is that they're more likely to be bullied. Now, back to Colorado again, a transgender boy in Colorado is accused of harassing girls in the restroom at the school in Colorado Springs. A boy who says he is a girl was permitted to use the girls' restroom, which resulted in the accusation. Pacific Justice Institute, who you'll see their name on a lot of things, are out of California, and they have been working on this very issue to try to protect the children in the schools. And so that they represent these girls who made this accusation. And they said that the girls were warned that if they continued to speak out against the boys present in their restrooms, they would face punishment, including being removed from the girls' athletic teams or even charged with a hate crime. The group also claims the girls were told if they didn't like sharing a bathroom with the boys, they could simply refrain from using those facilities at all. Now, as this has gone on, what they finally decided to do was there was a restroom, a single stall restroom up by the front desk, probably again for the employees there. They told the girls, if you don't want the girls in the school that don't want to use the restroom with the boys, you can use that one. Now, they have to walk clear across the school to get there. They can only go in one at a time. They have to stand in line and wait, and they still have to get to school to class on time. So most of them end up having to leave and not able to use the facility. Now, and then told if they don't like it, they could just not use it. I hate to say this, but girls have lots of reasons why they have to get into a restroom, and it's not, for all the same reasons that guys do. And yet these girls are being denied access if they don't want to be in there with the boys. California actually passed a law. It's in their code and signed by the governor. And their law said, this bill will cover the state's 6.2 million school kids, allowing the transgender student to choose which bathroom and locker rooms they use and whether they participate in boys or girls sports. That is the law of the state of California. Now, there's been an effort to stop this in California, and they gathered enough signatures, and they got their signatures to put this on the ballot. But what good does that do in California? They've had such good luck of putting this issue on the ballot, they lose every time. But they do have the signatures if they want to. It's going to be on the ballot, and they're going to vote on it. This is a great statement, though, by Brian Brown from the National Organization of Marriage. And by the way, Brian Brown is coming to our event on the 25th, so come and hear Brian, because he's the president of NAM. It says, the co-ed bathroom law is a horrible attempt by activists to strip society of all gender roles and use children as a weapon in their cultural war. And that is just really the truth. We heard about what they do for children. Where does this all lead? Well, now we have a transgender homecoming queen in California, and he was so excited to be picked as the homecoming queen that he said, so I am so proud to win this, not just for me, but for everyone out there. The teen gushed about the honor during television interviews on the night of the coronation. How does this affect Utah? Well, you already heard that in American Fork High School, they have their first gay-straight alliance there. This happened in August. Of course, they didn't go to the school board until October to even get approval. But when they got to the school board, they got approval. Let me share with you some of the things that's actually in the things that they applied for in American Fork High School. Now, how many of you in this room have children in American Fork High School, grandchildren in American Fork High School, live in that district that someday your children going to schools that will leave them and take them to American Fork High School? Are you just going to let this happen? This happened in August and nobody's done anything about it. Now, they have to let them have the club. I'm not talking about the fact that they have the club, because there's nothing you can do about that. We already been there. Several years ago in this state, we actually passed a law that said no gay lesbian clubs, no GSAs and gay straight alliances in Utah. Great bill, passed it. We lost that one. We went all the way through the courts, and the court struck it down. But what the court did come back and say, they said, because of the equal access laws that were passed many years ago that had to do with religion, that said that you could have religion clubs in the schools. Because of that law, they said you have to allow the gay straight alliances in the schools. But they said you could regulate them. Now, you don't have to have gay straight alliances if you don't have any clubs. But if you're going to have clubs at all, non-academic clubs, then you have to allow these. But it says you can regulate them. So a few years later, the legislature passed another law regulating these clubs. You know, there are things that have happened over the years that maybe have slipped through the cracks on those regulations. At the time, it seemed really great. Signed parental permission. They couldn't promote anything that was illegal. They couldn't have anything in their name that was sexual. That's why Gay Straight Alliance. There was a set of rules. But it didn't address discrimination. So their stated objective in this club is to promote, and again, I'm reading directly from the paperwork. I'm not making this up. The stated objective is to promote a supportive and affirmative environment and all forms of discrimination. That's very important, that word discrimination, especially if this law passes, particularly towards LGBTQ and allies, and to reduce the risk of suicide. Q, by the way, is questioning. So under their Articles of Association, they state, GSA is a benefit to students, whether gay, straight, transgender, or anywhere on the spectrum of identification. And this was the Alpine School Board voted for this. I was there when they voted for it. I testified against it. I pointed out to them the things I'm talking to you about tonight that has to do with discrimination, that they should not be passing anything with the word discrimination in it, and here's why. I also pointed out that right in their articles of incorporation, it says right in there that they that you don't have to have signed parental permission to attend the club meetings. You only have to have signed parental permission to participate in the activities. That right there violates the law. They have to have signed parental permission to be involved in any way with that club. So I'm showing you this next slide. It has to do with the ACLU, because they're the ones promoting this, and every GSA club around the country has the same language, because if you go to their page, they're on their website, the page that they have for youth in schools, it says, "We're working to make public schools safe and bias-free for LGBT students, defending their free speech in school, and working to help students start Gay Straight Alliance Club." So that's where this is coming from. And these kids are so well prepared for this. They came and testified. They were there that night. They were, the night it was passed, with their advisor, and their advisor got up and went on and on and on. And they know exactly what to say, because they've been trained to say just what they want them to. So let's talk about just a little bit about North American Fork High School, because you guys have got to do something to make a difference there. And the Articles of Association, under their purpose, they say, to bring together members of the student body to promote a supportive and affirmative environment that is friendly and respectful of all the students of American Fork High School, regardless of their sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression. So there's those words. That's right in their Articles of Association. And they pass that. The school board passed that. So you have gender identity in that policy. They could start through lawsuits demanding right now to allow the sharing of restrooms and showers and dressing rooms at American Fork High School. Have you checked it out? Have you gone over there to see what's going on? They go on to say, "We will work to end all forms of discrimination on our campus and in our community." Well, first of all, that's impossible. You know, when the young people go out to try out for the school play, do they let all of them be in the school play? Do they let them all have the lead? Do they give them exactly what they want? They discriminate, don't they? How many, I have children that have tried out for things, and guess what? They didn't always get what they wanted. They told them no many times. They discriminated against them, didn't they? Or what about sports? Oh, my boys would have loved it if they could have just shown up and played any position they wanted or always be on the team. Didn't happen that way, did it? They discriminated against them, and yet the school board passed this saying that they will end all forms of discrimination. And I like the way they said it, on our campus and in our community. And, Actually, we were in Highland one other time doing a presentation like this, and there was a lady there who happened to work at the school, or at American Fork High School, and she filled us in on all kinds of things that was absolutely shocking about they're there every morning for the announcements, and their announcements are read about what that gay and lesbian club is doing, and money that they're raising to help. They had barrels all over the school to get food for the homeless. And it said, food for the homeless, especially LGBT homeless students. And everybody's, and then they have little advertisements, and that's what the children are seeing. They've got posters and signs, all kinds of things that she pointed out that are happening over at American Fork High School. Now, I had a lot of children go to American Fork High School, and I can tell you, I'd have been parked over there. I would have been beside myself if this was going on when my children were there. And I don't have any grandchildren out there now, but if I did, I'd be over there as the grandmother. So I would suggest to all of you, go see what's going on in your school. And so where does this end up leading? Well, here we have a situation where in Carmel this couple, this homosexual couple, were voted the cutest couple in the yearbook. So what's happening at American Fork High School? At American Fork High School, GSA class representatives' responsibility includes working with class officers, again, this is in writing, I'm reading from their writing, to learn about the potential opportunities for involvement in parades, dances, pep rallies, publicity, and educational events. And they're making it happen. They're making it happen already. So what's going on with the U.S. Department of Education? It says the U.S. Department of Education recognizes October as LGBT month, History Month. It's LGBT History Month this year. This was in 2010. And then the U.S. Department of Education will recognize October as LGBT History Month, with U.S. Secretary of Education Arne Duncan speaking at the department's first LGBT History Month event. Now, now it's every October. Every single October, the Department of Education recognizes October as LGBT History Month. They say that LGBT History Month sends an important message to our nation's teachers, school boards, community leaders, and youth about the vital importance of recognizing and exploring the role of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people in American history. Now, I've got another little clip here if I can get this to work. And we'll see if this works. And if you can't hear it, tell me and we'll just move on.
October.
Put the mic on.
The first soldier wounded in the Iraq War.
He was a groundbreaking scientist.
The father of modern photography.
She was a chief White House photographer.
An activist, speaker, and celebrated author.
A fashion designer and filmmaker.
Among the most successful African-American novelists.
One of the first out U.S. ambassadors.
Founded the first organization protecting GLBT students.
A leading transgender activist.
AIDS activist.
The first openly gay U.S. Marshal.
An award-winning actress.
A trailblazing photographer.
An Olympic gold medalist.
The first student to successfully challenge anti-gay violence.
A celebrated theater, film, and television actress.
A cutting-edge photographer.
The first out politician in Nepal.
The first openly gay mayor of a major U.S. city.
Of the California Assembly.
She redefined the role of the First Lady.
A Sufi mystic and poet.
A humorist, playwright, and best-selling author.
An acclaimed author and illustrator of children's books.
His murder brought national attention to GLBT hate crimes protection.
The world's first openly gay national leader.
One of the world's most acclaimed composers.
A singer and songwriter.
A minister and GLBT activist.
A renowned poet and author. Information about the 31 GLBT icons, videos, bios, photos, and more, all downloadable for free. Visit GLBTHistoryMonth.com.
one of the things you might have noticed there is they had George Washington Carver up there. What an absolute insult. There were people up there that have been dead for years, for hundreds of years, and they put them up there, and who's going to deny that? You know, so they had 31 icons every year, one for every month, every day of the month in October. And this is what is on the website for the children to see. I don't know, just, you know, I can't tell you what's going on exactly in every school here in the state of Utah, whether they show them these films or not. Coming from the Department of Education, though, and recommended, so they can at least go to the website and see these things. So the other thing that we had happen this year, though, was the Senate passed the Non-Discrimination Act of 2013. It's now over in the House. Make sure you call our elected officials here, our House members, and tell them not to vote for this, because it's non-discrimination on a federal level. If they were to pass this, then we would have non-discrimination in every state, every school, every community in the nation. So, you know, this is a big thing for Harry Reid, but when they voted on it in the Senate, there were 64 to 32. That meant 10 Republicans voted for this, and Hatch was one of them. So now it's over in the House. Call all of our House members here from the state of Utah and tell them that absolutely you do not want them to pass this. Now, you know, this is the first time I've given this presentation since the Judge Shelby, you know, did his unconstitutional act and gave us gay marriage here that we're tolerating. And so the question I ask about is, will anti-discrimination laws lead to same-sex marriage? If Utah passes a law that recognizes gender identity anywhere in the code, then we are legally stating that it is as a state, we agree that a person is the gender that they say they are. What happens when two men apply for a marriage license? One says he is a man, and one says, I have a deeply held belief that I am a woman. Is that marriage between a man and a woman? Can you see all the more reason why we cannot pass this? We are in a fight for our life in this state. We're going to be appealing to the Supreme Court, to the 10th Circuit, which will probably go all the way to the Supreme Court to stop this outrageous judge's ruling. And now we're looking at this. And they're going to probably try to use this as an excuse to do this. So I wanted to share with you just two little clips here from the actual case, the United States District Court for the District of Utah Central Division, Memorandum Decision and Order by Judge Shelby. And, anyway, I want to mention just a couple of things that's in there, because he said, you know, that the court agrees with Utah that the regulation of marriage has traditionally been the providence of the state and remains so today. But any regulation adopted by a state, whether related to marriage or any other interest, must comply with the Constitution of the United States. So what is this judge saying? He's saying this is not just marriage. This is anything that if a judge decides violates the United States Constitution, our law. He's talking about Utah's law. So any law that we have. He said the issue the court must address in this case is therefore not who should define marriage, but the narrow question of whether Utah's current definition of marriage is permissible under the Constitution. That should scare everybody in this room to death, to think that this judge could do that. And as I mentioned, back there on the back table is an article that was in the Deseret News today, and you need to take a copy of that, addressing this very issue. And then on page 2 of his decision, he said, the question presented here depends on the Constitution itself and on the interpretation of that document contained in binding precedent from the Supreme Court and the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. So what's this all about? It's not about the Constitution at all. It's about case law that sets a precedence. And we're so far from the Constitution. I've read this 53-page document. You should all take the time to do that. And all the way through there, all he talks about is case law. This precedent. He doesn't ever talk about the original Constitution. He talks about, you know, the 14th Amendment. He talks a little bit about the Fifth Amendment, And then he talks about precedent law all the way through and says, our law violates the Constitution. Read the Constitution, read this these 53 pages, and you'll see how ridiculous this is. Cleon Skousen said, homosexuality has destroyed every civilization in which this form of depravity became established as an important part of the people's lifestyle. If you really care about our society, if you really care about the fact that we love the United States of America, we love the Constitution, we are not going to tolerate this. We have been mowed down and treated as if we have no rights. And everybody in this room and everybody in this state has got to stand up for what we believe. President Packer said, the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah were localized. They are now spread across the world wherever the church is. The world is now where ancient prophets warned it would be. So, all I can say to every one of you, make a difference. Do something. Make a difference. Come to our events. Make those phone calls on Monday to the governor's office. Everybody in this room, make those phone calls. Anyway, we'll go to your questions and answers now.
I was reading an article about the legislation that passed during the committee last year, and it was saying that Senator Chris Bramble, who's my senator from Provo, was working behind the scenes with the church to reach some type of accommodation, and that worries. Did you read that? Do you know anything about that? Or?
I know everything about that, but I'm not going to talk about that. Just it should be evident enough: the LDS Church did not endorse this legislation.
Is Senator Bramble kind of squishy on it?
I think you need to talk to Senator Brown.
I can shake my head yes.
Keep talking.
Would you share with us how we can find out who our state representatives are and how to get a hold of them?
Can I mention something on that? I have back there a handout. It's not complete for Highland because that's why I ran in the door at the last minute. I had on my computer. Okay. Oh, well, he's from Ogden. Good. So please pick that up. I only brought 100, and there's obviously more than that here. So if you're couples, just take one. It has a list and phone numbers and email addresses of all the people that you need to contact. Leadership. It's Senate and House leadership. The Rules Committee is on there. What is missing is the local people here, because it says Sandy on there, because the Highland one didn't show up. So for Highland, write, if you're from this area, write down... Mike Kennedy, who I don't know. Mike, are you still here? Mike was here a few minutes ago. He lives right here in Highland. He is a state rep. You also have Kay Christofferson from over in Lehigh has a portion, and I hope there are people here from Lehigh. So Kay Christofferson from the Senate is John Valentine and Mark Mattson, and then also.
By the way, John Valentine chairs the Rules Committee.
And that and his contact information is on that paper back there.
What committee?
The Rules Committee will decide if and what committee the non-discrimination legislation will go to. Yeah, so just go to UtahSenate.org. UtahSenate.org, and there's a list of every senator, and you can do the same thing with the House. Same thing with the House.
He drove down from Ogden because he cares so much about this issue.
Let me share something with you. So the week that this judge ruled, this is in fact sometimes we let our years go by and we don't pay much attention from month to month. But 2013 was an unbelievable year for this nation, unbelievable. So in 1 week, the week that Shelby ruled, we had the Canadian Supreme Court legalize prostitution in all its forms. You had New Mexico legalize same-sex marriage, and you had another federal court legalize or decriminalize polygamy. You really think it matters now what kind of relationships we have under the law? So a famous actor in England, Jeremy Irons, the women know who he is, I think. He said what he's going to do is he's going to marry his two sons. And he said at the same time he's against the legalization of same-sex marriage. He says, if our country's going to do this, then I'll marry my two sons. And you know why he's going to do that? Because if they're his spouses, they don't have to pay estate taxes. And there's nothing illegal, because polygamy obviously would be legal under our regime of laws now, which are like England's. You wouldn't have to worry about incest, because there's no procreation. So you see how ridiculous this gets, where it doesn't matter now. Whatever relationship wants to be formed, it can be formed. I wrote an op-ed, actually wrote it the day the ruling came down. Tribune held it till the following Wednesday, basically decrying what he did. Over 1,000 comments were submitted attached to my article, and then I've got almost as many emails. And in some of those I responded to. I had a dialogue. And in every case, as the dialogue went on, they would come out and say, I want activist judges. You talk about the founding fathers, they're just a bunch of old rich men. What do they know? And our Constitution needs to be a living Constitution, because everything changes. And the majority shouldn't rule in this country. I mean, these are the things, and at the end I finally say, well, now you've really revealed yourself, what you're really about. It took about 4 times going back and forth, but now you've revealed yourself. Folks, this is serious. All the things that you talked about 20 years ago that was coming, remember that? You said this could be happening to us if we don't pay attention. It's now here. I talked to my 79-year-old father, and I said, Dad, did you think this would ever happen in your lifetime, or when you were my age? I'm 57. He said, absolutely not. And he says, I don't want to live a day longer in it. That's how he feels about it. You, and okay.
Just quick, who was the other Republican who voted for it in committee?
Ralph Okerlund. He will not vote for it this next time, I can guarantee you. His family turned on him like you wouldn't believe.
What does he represent? And when is he up for re-election?
He won't be up for several years now, and he's in the southern end of the state
as well. He was elected in 2012.
Yes.
He won't be to 2012. We have to get these people out. We have to...
Just secure your own legislator. Yeah. If everybody secures their own legislator... school boards, city council members, you'll be fine. Look to your own first. And that's what's tough, and that's what my editorial was about. It makes it very, very difficult for you to have recourse of any kind. And what I suggest is if they don't stop doing this, the people will begin to exercise civil disobedience. And I warn them in this op-ed about what they're unleashing. And I warned further and said, if you allow this to happen and then you allow religious freedoms to be superseded by sexual civil rights, we will have divisions in this country, the like of which we've never seen in this generation. And I believe that.
And that piece is back there on the top.
So it's very difficult to change what the court's doing. It's very difficult.
Yeah, and of course the number one thing we're going to see happen is religious liberty. And if you combine the anti-discrimination laws with marriage, all the things that you've been hearing about that's happening across the country that has to do with people who don't want to perform the marriages, people who don't want to bake cakes or provide flowers or photography, and they refuse, they get sued. The state they live in says to them, you either perform the services that they're asking, or you pay these big fines and you lose your business, because it's going to happen over and over. It's not because they have marriage laws. It's because they have anti-discrimination laws. It's because they have marriage laws that the people are asking for the services, but it's under the anti-discrimination that they're losing their religious freedom, their liberty, their religious liberty. to say this, you know, I won't do this because it's against my religion, and the government says you will do that or you'll be out of business. So that's what we see happening in the next 20 years, like starting tomorrow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I can see that the ultimate expression of this problem will be that a gay couple will demand that the church seal them in a temple.
That's it. That's the goal. Yeah, that's the goal.
Well, and you know, at this, it's hard to say.
The church will say no, and then they'll be forced to shut down the temples.
The church will start only doing sealing.
It's hard to say. We don't. One thing we do know, though, we've already had a lawsuit. It was filed for a couple of days, and then they withdrew it. That just happened last week against the LDS Church, saying you have to perform our marriage. Not in the temple. It was because the sealing is not a marriage. So anyway, let's see. There was one back there that I said you were next. Yeah, right there. Because they're standing up for what they believe in. They're demanding it, what they want, and they're getting it. You know, you could say the same thing about the Revolutionary War to begin with. You know, 3% of the people. That 3% of the people is doing what the rest of us are not even considering doing. They're going after what they believe in, and they're getting it, and they're running over top of us to do it.
So I write that op-ed piece, and literally over 1,000 people responded. Maybe 5 supported what I said. Now you think about that. So the silent majority, you have to stop being silent. Because if you don't, then you deserve everything you get. That's my attitude about this. You have to speak up.
So if they have a gay grave in downtown Slow Lake, can we not band together spread the word and say we are a people that want to stand up for our religious freedoms and our rights? Can we not?
Yes, we can. And you need to do it every way you can. You show up at every event we sponsor, and we say, come and let your voice be heard. The media will be there. Also, I didn't mention that Sutherland Institute, is, along with a bunch of us that are part of a coalition, are holding an event out at Thanksgiving Point in the barn out there on the 23rd. So put that on your calendar too. You've got all these things to go to. Now theirs is on the anti-discrimination, but it all means the same thing. We all show up to say no, no to anti-discrimination, no to homosexual marriage, but you have to show up. And if it costs you a little bit of money, spend the money. Donate to the cause. I mean, we go around doing this all the time. We up and down the state. We've been down to St. George. We do this on our own dime. You know, it would be great if people start donating to this cause. So spend a little bit of your money and donate to this cause and show up. Always show up. I was just so excited that all of you showed up tonight. Don't let this be the last time. Schedule meetings like this in your home and in your community and do everything that you can. Go home tonight and send out emails to everybody you know and tell them what you learned tonight and tell them about these events that are coming up. Tell them to get involved. Yeah. So thousands and thousands of people have to say, Governor, put an end to this.
Tom, why don't you come up here? Tom came to one of our first meetings, and then he organized this. And so I first want to have all of you give him a round of applause for doing this. And I know there's more questions, and I'm not going to end this. I'm just going to end it for myself because I'm going all the way back to Ogden. But I want to thank Tom and Gail Ruzicka. Those of you who don't know Gail, she's been I met Gail probably 30 years ago. 25. But she's been doing this for over 30 years. And she said she's doing this on her own nickel. She's been doing this for 30 years on her own nickel. And when she walks the halls of the Capitol, we all try to find the closets and the hiding places. Because when Gail speaks, we want to listen. So I hope you appreciate her many years of sacrifice. I could not do what she's done for as long as she's done it. And she's done it on many, many issues. And all of you should be indebted to her. She's from your neighborhood. So thank you very much. Okay, just can we give Stuart Reed a round of applause, please? Thank you, Stuart. Okay, I know we have a few more questions. Hang on. We're going to have a closing prayer, and then, before Stuart leaves. Stuart, one more question for you.
We need to know, is there any hate crime laws in Utah that stops us from doing this? Because we have been...
Not yet. That's coming next week. Don't worry about it.
And I will tell you, we do have hate crime laws. We have hate crime laws here in the state of Utah. We spent years, year after year after year, they came back with that, and we defeated it and defeated it. And finally, one day, myself talking to Representative LeVar Christensen. LeVar happened to be the sponsor of Amendment 3, so he's a great guy. You'll hear from him, too, at all these events. LeVar and I discussed this. LeVar came up with a brilliant idea how to rewrite the hate crimes law to turn it into a non-hate crimes law, just a law that's already on the books that affects all of us, that says, you know, you can't beat up on your neighbor, you know, that kind of stuff. It's already there, crimes anyway. And he rewrote that. He was genius. It was brilliant the way he rewrote it. We took it to the sponsor of the bill just a few days before the end of the session. He knew his bill was probably in trouble, but we were really worried that year, but we knew it was going to come back and keep coming back. He actually accepted what LeVar had written, committed to the two of us that, okay, all that's okay. We passed a bill with his name on it. It was called Hate Crimes, was not hate crimes, and LeVar and I were invited to the signing, and what we got passed was what we wanted. So that's the hate crimes bill, and it replaced all kinds of stuff that was already, because we did have a hate crimes bill before that in the law. It was wimpy, but it was a hate crimes. We changed all of that and turned it into something that put that to an end. Someday they might decide to bring it back, but right now we don't have one. So no, we're all okay. We're all okay. You can speak out all you want against this.
Okay, we're going to have a closing prayer, and then if you're okay, maybe do another 15 minutes of Q&A. If you guys would like, those who need to go. I mean, it's a cold night. We understand if you got to go, but those who want to stay.